This episode was recorded in front of a live audience. Little content warning, there have been some minor use of explicit language. You have been warned.
Let me record that, so we get all our jokes about Richards being late.
We're just discussing how he's obviously been murdered, and this is the inevitable murder mystery at Dragon Meat.
And I was saying Dragon Meat murder mystery would make quite a nice one-shot, to be honest.
Except for my approach was just to quiz you all to find out which one of you murdered, and when one of you clearly looks guilty, that's it. I'm done. You're the murderer. Right, so we found the murderer. That's who killed Richard. Yeah. Fantastic. So is that the end of the panel?
Yeah,
that's it. That was the end of the panel about legal claims and breaches of contracts. So.
Well, thank you all for coming. See you later. Have a nice day. Yeah.
I think someone needs to lay down a sick beat now.
Feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so...
I'm way too white, man. Tasty.
So welcome to this panel, the Rollis Presents, so you want to start a podcast, specifically if you want to do a D&D actual play podcast. There are not a lot of these. I hear the demand for these is limited, and the offer is even lower, so there's really a market to populate there. I am Kaloum from the Rollis Podcast. I'm also the producer of the Rollis Present, which are panels on Twitch or live as part of charity events. I'm also the curator of the RPG Academy Film Studies, but I won't be telling you anything about how I produce these because I've got four or three panelists
Maybe
here
four,
to
like
tell you about everything about how you do a podcast. Kat, can you tell us who you are and what your experience doing podcasts?
Oh, well, I'm Kat. So I've done a podcast. I did the Pocket Mimic some time ago. So you have heard me. I don't do a podcast right now. I do a YouTube channel. So that's interesting being here right now. That's Did and D&D. And I've also done streaming on Twitch. So I've kind of covered all the bases. Don't ask me how to do any of them.
Right. Oh, right. On to me. Hello. I'm Conrad Leighton Gray. I am the Dungeon Master and one of the editors and producers for Power Word Roll. I came into it from a background in sort of radio production, and so sort of took that and have been working on a more sort of heavily produced kind of D&D podcast in the past couple, past while.
I am Ellie. I am part of Flintlocks and Fireballs, another D&D podcast. We are very much less heavily edited. We are long form, Critical Role kind of length. And we've been going for just over a year now. I think it was a year in August. So we've been going a little while. But yeah, we've got some people in who listen today, which is exciting. Hello. So yeah.
Hello, I'm Richard. I produce the D20 Future Show. No, I'm not. I don't know. I'm starting to get worried, actually. So I was hoping you would show up in the middle.
I'm still sticking with the murder mystery plot. I'm certain of this.
I'm sure he will be fine. He will be with us soon. So my first question, there will be a Q&A at the end of this. So please take notes of whatever you want to ask our magnificent panelists. What was your motivation starting the show that you were doing, Ellie?
Well, frankly, we were four actor mates who were all really heavily into improv, all massive nerds for a start. We've been playing D&D in various combinations of the cast off air for a couple of years by that point. And things like Critical Role were just kind of coming into our consciousness. And we were like, we're really good at improv. And like, this could be really fun. So we started it up, not knowing where it would go, really. We really wanted a long-form way of telling a story because it's not very often. I mean, like, with improv, usually you get to do, like, improv gigs, which are small scenes. You don't get to tell a whole long-form story for months and months and months with it, and that was what really attracted us about it. We had no idea if anyone would listen, but people did, which was quite exciting. And here we are. So, yeah, that's kind of why, I guess.
How many of you here listen to Flintlocks and Fireballs?
At least one.
Yeah.
That's what we like to say.
Yes.
Well, hopefully you will convert audience by the end of this panel.
I should have bought flyers, shouldn't I? That would have been intelligent. There are flyers upstairs at the podcast zone. Take some before you leave.
Conrad.
So in terms of motivations, I was in a public game with the current cast for the release of Waterdeep Dragon Heist, which I got early. And so I was in a public game running this, and we just gelled quite well. And then one member, Naomi, was just like, "Hey, do you want to do a podcast?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, we'll do it." So motivations, I feel, for podcasting don't need to be very, solidly defined when you get into it. If you've got the drive to do it, it's kind of a motivation in and of itself. So there wasn't at the point we started deciding to do it, there wasn't like, "Oh, we want to do this," or "this is, the angle we want to take." Instead, it was just like that intention, and I feel that was enough.
So with Pocket Mimic, they'd already had the show. The motivation there was that they wanted an element that was collaborative. They wanted someone to come in and be able to do collaborative creation, building, be able to sort of spitball and do the impro stuff. And apparently that's where my skills lie. So that's what they brought me in for. We get it wrong every time.
It's nice in terms of branding to pick names which are easy to pronounce,
right? Do you know what?
Like French words.
Do you know what? If you watch the YouTube channel, you can see every week me and Danny struggling to remember what the show is called. But the whole idea of it was we wanted to explore something that was deeply personal. We wanted to basically create somewhere that was a safe place to explore the disorders we have, but also we wanted to bring in something we loved and a bridge for other people to understand dissociative identity disorder. So it's kind of like geekiness, mental health, and a safe place. And it was about having fun and hanging out with my friends. That's really, for me, the whole motivation behind every podcast or anything, Callum, you've wrote me into doing, is about doing it with my friends.
Same here, actually, very much.
I think almost universally there's sort of that agreement that if you are there fundamentally to have a good time, and I think that comes across in content, so that should be, in any instance, one of the primary focuses, because if you hate everyone you're there with and don't want to be doing what you're doing, then it's going to show in the content.
Also, friends you can work with, though, is a very important thing, because sometimes you have friends and they're great and you can spend time with them, it's lovely, and then you try and actually work on a thing together and it just doesn't work for whatever reason. Doesn't mean you're bad friends. Just means you're friends who can't work together necessarily.
There's friends you play D&D with and there's friends you podcast D&D with.
Absolutely. And I think it helped with us that we were all actors who'd worked on shows in various combinations. Like, we hadn't all worked together, but we nearly had in different combinations. So we knew what we were kind of dealing with, and that helped as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
We got people from Danger Club here, another podcast. Yeah. Since Richard is not here, I'm not going to give you a seat, but what was your motivation for launching your own show?
Hello, I'm Dan. I'm the DM, GM, I should say. I'm saying branding. We're a Pathfinder RPG podcast. We've been going, I think, almost exactly the same amount of time as Flintlocks.
You were ever so slightly before us.
Yeah,
I think you were like.
Are you frenemies?
This is a Pokemon rivalry.
You all have to go away now and listen and choose your favorite.
Oh my god!
If you walk into Orc's Nest, you see like competing leaflets. No, I'm totally kidding.
We're all competing with Orc's Nest desire to not have our flyers on.
We come in Orc's Nest lightly, please.
They always they're definitely not all getting picked up. No, our motivation was sort of similar. We've been playing together for, I think, about 5 years. Again, we're all actors. We'd met on a job. We ended up in the pub playing some, initially 3.5 and then Pathfinder. And because we were playing it, we're always playing it in bars and things. And we had people start to come along and watch us playing our game and just ask to sit in on sessions. And then stuff started blowing up with podcasts like sort of Critical Role or Glass Cannon or things like that, and we're like, we could probably do this, and you start doing the research in it and like how much it's going to cost, and you're like, okay, this is probably doable, and somehow we are. I'm as surprised as everyone is. I think a year on, we're like, oh, we're still going, we're still sort of doing
this. I think it's like when you're talking about like looking at it and thinking, oh, we could do this, there was a sort of motivation of thinking of stuff we could bring to the table that was different as well, because we kind of like, we have some quite helpful skills in this regard when it comes to podcasting. Like, we're all voice actors. I had done producing work before, so I know my way around marketing. We can all sing, which is an unusual one on a D&D podcast, and so we figured we would make that part of our thing. We write our own sea shanties, if anybody likes sea shanties. come listen, it's great fun. Not that I'm plugging. But like, this is the thing. Like,
you sold me already. It's sea shanties, you sold me over. That's it. I'm missing. Sorry, guys, but I've just chosen that podcast. Unless you can offer me sea shanties too.
We've had some hip hop.
Hip hop? I'm there. But yeah, it's a similar thing of kind of going, looking at your skills and looking at what's happening with Critical Role and the Adventure Zone and Glass Cannon and all that, and thinking, yeah, we could bring something to this, like, which is a nice feeling.
just a vague point on that, though, is that those skills do not have to be acting.
Not at all.
Because we've kind of over two sets of actors, which are very useful skills, especially voice acting.
You don't need
acting
to be an actor, though.
But I mean, I came in from radio hosting, which I feel as a game master is a reasonable, you know, transferable skills in many regards. But we also have just people who really cared about role-playing in our podcast. We aren't actors, career actors, but I think we're pretty good role-players. And, although one can help the other, I wouldn't say it's a limiting factor as well. You can come in, yeah, like, and there are all kinds of skills. Like, you spoke about music. Anything you can bring, do.
Yeah, just see what you have that's different would be my advice. Like, what can you bring in that will add something?
Even if your skill is just you really, really love what you're doing, that's actually the best skill to bring along. Because when your listeners are listening, if you're like, oh, we're talking about D&D and it's D&D, they're going to switch off. But if you're bringing love and you're bringing passion, it doesn't matter what else skills you've got. That's the key. Anybody can actually do this. Actually, probably shouldn't say that because then we're all out of a job, right? you can't all do this. That's it.
No, but, like, the love is really important. Like, if you're bored, your listeners are going to be bored. Like, it's a pretty obvious thing, but, like, you're quite right. And you can hear if people are having a good time, and it makes you want to stay and listen, because it's nice to hear people having a good time.
An important skill for podcasting, though, I think it's something more professional from the radio station than the acting background master, is speaking straight directly into the microphone.
I'm used to mics on tables, I'm sorry, it sits here usually.
Getting players to speak into microphones is a trial.
Oh, yeah.
I say looking towards my players. The amount of editing and post I have to do to balance levels with that is a
So you project so hard in that microphone. I need to play with the volume constantly.
That's the other thing, isn't it? It's having the skill set of knowing how far to project into the mic so that you don't actually blast. I did that the first year I was here, by the way. I did record, and afterwards in the editing, I just got a message going, seriously, can you just next time bring it down in the mic? And the guy had to go, although I was quite pleased, he had to go and teach himself how to do the sound balancing. I was like, I taught you a skill. I bought my loud voice to teach you a skill.
You learn as you go, that's the thing. Is there anyone in the audience considering starting a podcast? If you could raise your hand, could you come a bit closer? Yay. Any of you? Yeah, come on.
Join
come
the
over. Can you? Oh, can you
start now?
Hello, what's your name? Yeah, you're that's it. You're on a podcast. Congratulations.
It's happened.
You made it.
I'm Jennifer. I'm like a big World of Darkness fan, and I'm considering doing maybe, especially for German listeners, a podcast about World of Darkness. First, I do math grade. What's up? What's
new? Oh, thank God, something not about Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't care if you.
What's your own motivation to engage in that endeavor?
Basically, I like to have more fans of the World of Darkness and like to get people informed. I've already got like a blog, a Facebook site, and yeah, I'm considering doing a podcast or YouTube channel.
Amazing. You got a title already?
VOD News so far.
Sorry?
VOD News.
Okay, cool.
WOD.
Yeah. Okay, cool. A little round of applause.
I would say that World of Darkness is a great angle. It was briefly mentioned before to sort of try and have a unique take on it. And I think the World of Darkness is an area that hasn't really been tapped into much in terms of sort of RPG podcasts as much as Dungeons and Dragons, which is the order of the day. Beyond like something like LA by Night, it's less tapped into. I mean, it's such a great world. I think. Knowing genre and tone are going to be very important there, of course. It's quite grimdark at times. I don't know whether you're going with new or old World of Darkness. But
it's the Chronicles of Darkness
panel. The Chronicle of Darkness.
Chronicles of Darkness. Yeah. So is it, that's Requiem? Or?
Requiem. basically they renamed the New World of Darkness to Chronicles of Darkness so that they can better differentiate between Vampire the Masquerade, Vampire the Requiem, and all the new Chronicles of Darkness lines, which keep coming up. Like, they just got a Kickstarter for Mummy, the Curse, second edition, and...
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that was coming out. But you know, having... I feel like that is just a really interesting world to play around with, and instantly it gives you sort of a contemporary setting. I don't know. You said you were going to do it as either a podcast or a YouTube channel, but I would say that one thing I love to do with the podcast is add in lots of Foley and have lots of sound effects and things that really help listeners get immersed. And I feel that really adds to it. And the great thing about contemporary settings is you can make those yourself. So if I have one pro tip there, I'd say, you know, just whenever you have a door opening, get your microphone and put it up to a door. Even if you do it with your phone, it works.
Yes, so I haven't got any professional equipment yet. I got just the microphone, and that's basically it.
And that's a great segue to move on to the other set of questions about your production process. Well, you already started answering that, but how did you select your players? They were just around you. It's your group of friends.
I mean, with us, it was very much people that we already knew. Like, me and Robbie have been to drama school. Me and Jason are together in a relationship. And Jason and Sam have been to drama school together. So we already kind of knew each other. And we'd all played in various combinations.
So wonderful nepotism.
Basically, we were like, we want to play with people we like every week. Like, was a huge thing. If we're going to spend this much time, we want to like each other and trust each other. And we did. We were already friends. So that helped a lot.
I think with us it was nepotism again. We were just, it was people were playing with anyway, and then it was like, oh yeah, we want to do a podcast? Sure, let's do a podcast. And it's people you get along with. I think that's the most important thing. At the end of the day, as I say, you know, people are going to understand the rapport. You can try and fake it, but there's only a certain degree that's going to work over an extended period. Just friends. There wasn't really a selection process. I don't know.
So for Pocket Mimic, they actually already had a show, and they came to me and asked me to join. So that was kind of interesting, being part of a show with some people that weren't friends. I didn't know before, but genuinely, I adored them as beings. We had so much fun together, and actually, our connection as friends came out in the show and really helped that growing. With Dead and D&D, at some point, we will be choosing players. We will, once we've built Danny's Altars, we will be running a game. The selection process for that is going to be probably the people we know and trust. You know, this is going to be a chance to explore. I'm not going to go into what our show is about. If you want to know what dissociative identity disorder and D&D, just go and watch the YouTube channel. But at some point, Danny is going to be playing her alters, and I want to put safe people around her that she knows. So a lot of it is going to be people that I trust, people that I know I can rely on. It's easier to get a show going when you've got people you know and trust, rather than picking strangers. You know, I have so much respect for people like Encounter Roleplay and Stress Academy who have sign-ups and they bring in. And they have some beautiful, random people who come into it and grow in the community through doing those, but that's a real challenge in its own right to have random people that you don't know anything about on your show.
Yeah, it's a very different thing. Yeah. And especially like you're talking about kind of quite difficult themes, and like with World of Darkness, maybe you would be, because that can get dark.
Yeah, I would say when you're dealing with dark themes, surround yourself with people that you know you can trust and you know A, will get if something's a trigger, but also we'll handle a trigger in a respective way without, you know, being like, oh, just man up and just deal with it. Because actually, it's okay to have a moment where that setting that's dark hits you and you have to take a step back.
Oh, yeah, you've got to be comfortable with that. Like, I know that we go to some fairly dark places in this podcast. We also go to some very silly places. We're quite varied. But we do go to those sort of deep, scary moments. And having a cast that we trust, and frankly, having a cast that, if there are triggers, we do know them. Like, we all have our certain things that will set us off, but we know how to handle them. We know when to give warnings. We know we have signals for timing out if things are a lot. Like, you need to have all those safeguards in place, or work out if you're a game that will need them. Like, if you're going to be a podcast that's a silly romp around a Monty Python-esque world, maybe you don't need trigger warnings. But, like, if
that
you're going
fantastic.
To, it sounds lovely to be honest. and like,
can we do that?
It's, let's
do
it.
Yeah,
that sounds
okay.
Nice.
Roll initiative.
Let's do a panel. Yeah.
Bunny's attack.
One.
Just the most adorable D&D podcast of like fighting little bunnies and like, oh, so cute. But like
fighting bunnies and knitwear.
We were making jokes about a knitwear podcast before this. That makes no sense to the audience.
It doesn't. But the thing is, like, whether you're funny or dark or a bit of both, it's super valid, and like all of them are wonderful in different ways. You just, if you are going to go to the dark places, you need everyone at the table to be aware of it, like, and you need everyone to be okay with it and say, what are your limits? Is there anything you don't want in this podcast? And doing that as a group of really close friends is much easier than doing it with strangers. You can do it with strangers, but you've got to be quite candid and out there and okay with it.
So I think we can summarize ours because of conjoined points. I think it all comes to one core point, which is people you trust,
yes,
and people you can easily communicate with.
Or if you're going to use strangers, which in the case of like Scraticus Academy, goodness, that's hard to say.
Or
Encounter or something like that. It is doable, but you need to make sure that you check in with everybody and put the safeguards in place differently because it's a group of strangers, and be prepared for maybe some weirdness to come out of that. And just, you know, prepare slightly differently, I think.
And you know, with that, you're not always necessarily going to get people that can gel well, and some episodes might be stronger than others as a result of that. I mean, that's a bit more precarious, but you can also sometimes strike gold in ways that you wouldn't expect. So any method of choosing a cast, I feel, is you know, reasonably valid as long as it's thought out ahead of time.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think that's really the key, isn't it, actually? It's so long as you've thought out how what you want to achieve from your players, and then you found and sourced the players that fit that, and you've well thought the ideas and concepts behind it, then that's all you really need.
I'm tempted to throw a bit of a somewhat provocative question, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and there are a lot of different objectives. Of course, sometimes it's just about documenting games, it's about recording games you're doing with your friends. I'm just wondering, at one point, once you start being a bit more ambitious in terms of production, isn't there value on being a bit proactive in terms of representation? And not only for reason of representation in itself, but personally as a listener, I find it more entertaining to have different type of voices and different types of personalities. But you start of entering a realm where, yeah, you're a bit more proactive. You are casting people. What's your view on moving on to that, which is something I think Critical Role started as a group of friends, and I'm not saying people should not invite friends, of course, but we can see now that they're having different shows when they're much more proactive with that. They still have people, they trust people who are excellent, that's not the question, but they're on the lookout of doing a bit more in that field.
As you get bigger and you get more listeners, you do have, you owe your listeners a chance to represent. As you know, as it grows, you'll have different people there, you'll have different types of listeners from different types of backgrounds. So yes, you do want to represent them, you do want your listeners to have something that they can connect to. But also, as a listener, listening to other people's voices and cultures and
Luke
ideas.
Was here!
Richard! Listen to other people.
I'm really sorry.
We recorded everything up to this point just for you.
Okay, that's good.
So for the recording, Richard has just arrived.
Hello.
But no, I think if you have different voices, different cultures, different ideas, different types of people who have different types of thoughts, that's interesting for your listeners as well, because you create debate, you create challenges. We might not all have the same thought processes and the same desires and the same needs, and that actually can be quite interesting. So I think there's also an element of being able to represent as you grow, being able to make sure your fan base, your listener base is represented, but also that you're offering them something that's interesting, challenging, going back to what we said before, something that perhaps hasn't been done before, and have that there.
On the issue of representation, I think we are seeing changes, especially in recent years. I've been playing role-playing games half my life, and I think it's only in the past few years that issues that have been prevailing for the longest time are starting to be addressed. I'm seeing a lot of great stuff about sort of gender representation and to stepping away from you know, those the more traditional kind of idea of just being a hobby for men in their basement, you know.
It never was.
Yeah, but there's those narratives. Yeah, there's the narrative.
Yeah, no, totally.
It's really sort of perpetuated. I mean, we have my dear friend Naomi on the podcast, who also helps run No More Damsels, so we have a sort of active engagement with them to try and sort of and you know, like, have that kind of communication where we talk about how to better represent in games. We also do have a pretty even gender split. We don't have anyone non-binary on the podcast, but so there's only four of us. But it's about having that kind of representation in the world as well as at the table. Mm-hmm. Although I do think it's often left unsaid that, you know, another major issue is there is a dearth of people of colour, which even in London, where we are now, is a pretty white convention. And I think that's something worth noting. Despite my friend Devante over there. But overall, I think that that's something we all need to kind of address. And in terms of podcast representation, I understand that's one of the major criticisms of Critical Role. And then they do you know, sort of side projects with people. Like, I remember they did a great grimdark Bloodhunter thing with TJ Miller, who is prominent on the scene, and he's pretty cool. And you do have people gaining prominence, and there are podcasts up and coming. But I would say, like, focusing on representation at the detriment to content is a bad idea. Like, you can fixate on it too much, and I would say trying to force it almost can be belittling to the people who I'm sure are fantastic role players that you might be trying to bring on board. Choose them because they're good role players, not for the sake of representation.
I don't entirely agree. I half agree. It's a weird thing that.
Mm.
I mean, I am acutely aware that we are a panel of white people talking about representation, for a start. Like, let's address that elephant in the room, because that's happening. We clearly still have some work to do, because, like, everybody at this table is white, and we're talking about representation.
Yep.
And, like,
I mean, we've got a slight part here. We've got a couple of females up here, but but we are clearly lacking on the...
Absolutely, and, like, there needs to, like, there really does need to be more people of colour in D&D, like, massively, in, like, visible spaces in D&D, because, like, I'm not being funny, people of colour are playing D&D.
And that's happening for a very long time. Like, I mean, it's not like they started last week.
Exactly, they've been playing the same amount of time as white people have been playing, obviously, but the platforms aren't there in the same way, is the thing. Like, we don't see as many streams of people of colour, we don't hear as many podcasts with people of colour in them. There are some wonderful, wonderful podcasts and streams, like, you know, Waterdeep, Hell's Bells, people like that, who are incredible with representation, but they just do not get the coverage of things like Critical Role, is the thing. And, you know, it's not hard to look at why the media is very, very biased when it comes to representing white people over anybody else. As, like, you know, we're a small podcast, but we do try when it comes to representation. Like, our representation in general is not too bad. We've got one POC, we've got a couple of LGBT folks, we've got a non-binary person, we've got a lady. Hello. But yes, we do play D&D.
You collected the set nearly, didn't you?
What was that?
You collected the set nearly.
Yeah, we've nearly got the set. But the thing is, we are also trying when it comes to guests. We do think about these things, because when it comes down to it, why representation is so important is because everybody deserves to see themselves in stories. And if you're a white cis bloke, that's been happening forever, so that's not something you really think about. But if you're, you know, non-binary, or if you're trans, or if you're a person of colour, or, you know, neurodivergent or disabled or anything like that, like, that's not a thing that has been happening forever. And it's important to see yourself represented so that you feel normal, and, like, you feel like you could be part of some kind of story like this. You feel like you could do amazing things, because obviously you can. But if people tell you that only white guys can do amazing things, something of that seeps in. So I think representation is incredibly important. And I know that we do think about it when we have guests on, and we do try, at least, to lift other people up. Because, yeah.
Can I concur with that and actually refine my point? And I think better explain it in a more succinct manner, which is... please, if you get the chance when you're making a podcast or getting on guests or whatever, if you know somebody who perhaps is, you know, less represented in media, who is a fantastic role player, you know, please bring them on. But don't do it because of this aspect of them. You do it because they're an amazing role player and you get the chance to platform them as well.
Don't do it because they're the token, whatever,
because that type
of person, because that sucks. Do it because they're great and they deserve the platform.
Because no doubt there are so many people who often don't get the chance to be in these kinds of things who are amazing. I know I play with many of them, so...
Well, and it's a great... I mean, as someone who puts together panels, whatever type of representation, I find it... I'm an architect, and one for me, creativity is really helped by a number, setting yourself constraints, parameters you want to meet, and it pushes your creativity in interesting ways. And when I decide to try to have more ladies or more non-binary, and I'm not doing nearly enough... But the fact that suddenly I set myself this goal, that's already led to very interesting encounters with people I was not in touch yet. So it's a great opportunity to broaden up things and try out things. And
also I find when you start interacting with people from a different identity, people of color or people who's are of a different sexuality or are neurodivergent, particularly, that's an interesting one to bring up. You actually see things, changes your viewpoint of life because you suddenly have bought a different aspects. You're looking at things in a different way. So you have those changes because you're suddenly sort of seeing things through someone else's eyes. You're seeing a part of life you hadn't seen done before. So it's not bringing an awesome thing to your podcast, but it's changing things for yourself as well.
Yeah, so sorry, just moving on because I'm conscious of the time. I'd like to have a Q&A at the end of this, but sort of closing and moving on to the next question. Also, my personal view is that I could have any number of guests of color or non-binary and so on. It wouldn't change things. What I think would change things is people of color and non-binary themselves having their shows and their role-playing games and so on. So... please take it, anyone in the audience or listening to this, as a big encouragement. If you need any support, I will be happy to help you in any means. And moving on to the next question about, sorry, it's a bit dry moving into that, but the editing process and your equipment, so that people listening...
Why?
No, it's so, oh, so that, no, it's so that
that's
people
what
hear...
You know that, so, don't but, you?
Because I'd like the people listening to this or in this room to have some keys to move forward and produce their own content. See, that's kind of a...
Do you want to start?
Yeah, Richard, welcome among us.
I turn up late, and I am a straight, cis, white, posh guy.
And that's a new one. I've seen people speak too far from the microphone, but you're almost swallowing that.
I just rest it on my chin. It's a habit, but it mostly works.
Interesting.
I mean, that's a pro tip for handling with a condenser microphone in front of an audience, is you rest it on your chin and the sound man can then have something consistent to work with. There you go.
Let's all try that.
Because I, like I was saying, I'm a cis, straight, white, posh guy who has a podcast with four white guys on it. My wife was on it once. So walking into a question about... representation was fairly intimidating. So let's talk about editing, which I actually feel like I might have something to say on. I spend too much time editing. I'm a perfectionist. For your own sanity, set the bar a bit lower and you will get a lot more done, because I probably spend more time editing than I do playing role-playing games. I try and take out the ums and the ers. I try and take out rules discussions because I don't think anyone wants to hear that. My philosophy is, what do people want to hear? And I try and put only that out.
People counting like plus one, plus two.
If
you're listening to my show, you hear a dice roll, which might not be the actual dice roll, but an effect I put in. And then you see the result, like people are.
Oh, yeah, you can just record a nice clean dice roll and use that. It turns out in our game, we all help each other with mental arithmetic. One of us is an accountant. I'm a scientist, another is a nuclear physicist, so we're okay adding up, but we help each other all the time. It's like we don't trust each other to do basic maths. I use a software called Cubase, because it's the one I own. I find it really, really intuitive to use, but I guess that's the case of whatever software you have. That's kind of the editing process, and it's about trying to make it sound as clean as possible. Compression is your friend, because people don't speak at a nice even volume, a nice even distance away from the mic. The GM for the show that's going out at the minute has a really quiet voice. but compression has saved me.
And noise removal.
And then,
there are some podcasters in this room. I listened to their show. They didn't use noise removal enough.
Audacity has a fantastic noise removal plugin. I've not found one that you pay for that is better. So almost everything I'll record at this convention will have loads and loads of noise in the background. I will run it all through Audacity's noise, and then I will import it into Cubase and take out the ums and the ers. But yeah, Audacity's free, and it comes with a fantastic noise reduction software. And I've talked far too much now, so someone else should say something.
So Ellie, like all people who play and don't Dungeon Master games, you are heavily involved in the editing of your show, right?
No, I'm not. I do the producing side of things. So if you want to talk about social media and advertising, well there. If you want to talk about editing, that's actually your guy, just over there.
Come over.
He can just tell you. But we also use the same noise removal. We, again, have not found one that is better. So Audacity. Good. He also edits everything in Audacity. We are also less heavily edited than a lot of podcasts. But do you just want to talk about our editing? This is Jason.
This seems to be a reasonable distance. Am I too close in? Okay, that works.
Sound lovely, right?
Okay, so, yeah, basically, I'm the editor for Lots of Fireballs. Honestly, I actually do everything in Audacity. I don't even take it into another program, just because it does a lot of the time for what we do. But, yeah, we tend to record a very naturalistic, as it were, play style. So we don't tend to remove hesitations. We don't tend to remove die rolls, because there's the kind of philosophy that I enjoy hearing a game just being played. So kind of recording it as a game just being played has a degree of authenticity to it, which I quite enjoy listening to in other podcasts. Basic editing process, though, is fairly straightforward. I mean, do you guys tend to record all in person, or do you tend to record quite distributed?
So with Pocket Mimic, we were two people based in America, and I'm obviously live in the UK, so we actually recorded voice chat by using Discord, so that it didn't matter where we were location-wise.
It was a discussion show,
so it was easier to not be in the same place. But that, for us, that worked quite well.
That's pretty much what we do a lot.
I was just going to say, we all record in the same room, so I sort of a lot of transferable skills from the radio there.
Nice.
Well, it's absolutely lovely when we do get to record in the same room like we did today. Most of the time, we are actually recording distributedly, because two of us live in London, one of us lives up in the Midlands, and one of us lives down in West Country. Discord advice I'd give for other people doing the same thing, recording at a distance. Don't take everyone else's input from Discord. Get them to record it on their end.
Sounds
then send
Discord.
You
a lot of nodding in the room.
Yeah, that's a mistake. I have done it before. Send them to you. Make sure to use a clapper or something to sync it all up. Depending on the on the clocks in your microphones, especially if you're using USB mics, you might notice drift that happens over the course of, say, a five-hour recording session, in which suddenly one person's track is 3 seconds ahead of everyone else's. And again, Audacity programs like that for doing it. Audacity has two noise removal functions, by the way, for those of you doing it. There is the noise reduction function. There is also a function called noise gate, which you can use after you've noise reduced. And if you set it right, it will take out all of the stuff that is not someone talking, which can be very useful in a non-ideal.
We're going to have to be brief about the processing. It's fine. It's great. Usually when I record panels, there's no one behind me, so I can go on as much as I want. But
our editing process is extensive.
It's in capitals.
The premise of our show is that it's an edited form of Dungeons & Dragons.
Because that's a spectrum, right?
Yeah.
Like the stuff like Wizard of the Wind, which is the most heavily produced I know of.
Right.
And it's not negative or positive, it's a question of taste.
Well, yeah,
and
it's
different.
We deliberately try to dramatize it. As I said, I come from history of radio radio drama production. Now, I actually have got to disagree with some people on the panel here. Having come from history of radio, I know that the goal in any production is actually to use noise reduction as little as possible. If you've got proper soundproofing, if you've got a recording environment that lends well to the microphones you're using, Hopefully, you should use it as little as possible. Also, when you're condensing, try and use noise flooring properly. The noise floor function is there to try and capture that before you have to artificially, do noise reduction later on, and that will lead to less artifacting in the audio, meaning crisper, sort of clearer vocalization.
How can people do this on a budget?
Audacity is free.
Yeah. No, here's the thing.
Audacity is free.
Audacity is the industry standard, even in radio. All the Radio 4 shows you will listen to on the planet, any sort of anything edited is done in Audacity. And there's 1,000 plugins that you can use to further build on that and do better.
And free tutorials and
yeah,
so
yeah.
On.
And oh, by the way, if you want a pro tip, if you want really cheap and easy soundproofing, just put up a duvet. Just put duvets up, hang them up. They work really well. Well, not really well, but you know, proper soundproofing is probably the best. But it is a really good thing on a budget and will massively improve your sound quality, get rid of echo, and is generally a good idea.
Yeah, we record in my dining room, which has lovely big flat walls and big windows, and it's a nightmare. We draw the curtains, we put laundry maidens with towels and duvets on, we put something over the door because it's a glass door, just to deaden the sound. It's made a lot of difference. So if you own duvets and laundry maidens, then that'll get you a long way.
It works wonders, and you will be surprised by quite how much you can increase sound quality purely by improving the environment around you. There's a reason that most radio programs are recorded in a studio, and those studios are covered in soundproofing. It's the number one thing you can do. On top of that, actually, another pro tip is you can use a digital soundboard if you are on a budget, because you can basically any USB mic will work. But there's VoiceMeter is a great free program that will allow you to have multiple inputs, multiple different microphones. And as a general rule, if you can get one mic per person or like as many mics as possible, that is good. You know,
then you're not having to cuddle in like this.
Yeah.
Although we've got quite a friendship going now over the mic.
Yeah.
It's formed a friendship.
Shoulder
so,
to shoulder.
Yeah,
here we go. Yeah.
This is it.
We
for the
can
rest
be
of
mic
now.
Friends too. Look at us.
Sure. No, we're cool. That's,
but
that's
then you
fine.
Need compressor because you're not talking at the same level.
I was going to say, I'm going to come in here with the well done with all the fancy editing. You know, I am so proud of each of you who edit really well. We did record in Discord. No, we didn't record separately. Just our producer recorded Vince. I think that's because he didn't trust me and Sal to record ourselves. bearing in mind, though,
absolutely record
always
both.
Back up.
Yeah. Always have a backup plan.
Well, bearing in mind, Sal used to record his portion of the show in his car using the Discord app on his phone.
Nice.
That's what we were working with. And I had an ancient laptop, and I live in a Victorian house, which is fairly. There's a lot of noise outside. So we record in Discord. The nice thing about Discord is you have got the sensitivity. So, you know, halfway through, Vince would send a message being like, Kat, you're too quiet. Because obviously my problem was I was on a podcast. I have got a loud voice, but as a girl, I've got a softer voice to the two guys I was recording with. So, you know, I would often get a message from Vince just being like, you really need to turn the sensitivity up in your mic. We can't hear anything. Or, no, you've turned it up too far. We can now hear background noise. So, you know, the nice thing is finding something where you can record, where you can up and down that sensitivity so that you can each pick up, you know. And I also used to, in Discord, tweak the volume down on them because they were so loud while I was listening to them. I'd be like, oh my God, all I can hear is you. So we really didn't edit that much. We put lots of lovely sound effects in. I was always really impressed when I listened to the podcast and was shocked at the fact that there were sound effects. I don't remember happening. But it literally would take him about 2 hours to do. So for those of you who spend your lives editing, we literally would finish recording at 6 o'clock on a Sunday, and then I'd go to bed, and it would already be on Twitter. It already been shared.
Great. Very quickly, because we're running off. Could you shortly say two things? First, how do you, if you do, measure the success of what you're doing? And second, what is your ambition for the future of your show?
Shall I start? Okay. Measuring success. For me, all the stuff I've ever done is engagement-based shows. So it's, for me, the success is, are listeners actually getting behind the questions? Are they submitting stuff? Are they submitting questions? Are they submitting ideas? Are they feeding back? Because if you're doing a show that's engagement-based and no one's engaging, you need to look at what you're doing and you need to change it around. So for us, that was a success. For did and D&D? Well, let's just say there is a huge, massive project, a ridiculously huge magic project. I am actually scared by the size. So stay tuned and check out our YouTube to find out about it.
Ooh, fun.
Exciting. I would say for us, you know, getting more listeners has always been the biggest boost whenever you get, you know, sort of more people and more people tweeting about how they like the show or getting in touch. That's very good for that. Also, doing official tie-ins with Wizards of the Coast, Rowan, Mook and Deckard, and, you know, sort of doing those kinds of things really helps to legitimize what you're doing in your mind, I feel. And you're like, oh, actually, this is official, kind of. But my ambition for the show is very much because we've got this edited style, we tried to make it like a radio play. We want to, my personal ambition is to try and draw an audience of people that perhaps don't listen to RPG podcasts traditionally, perhaps come from, you know, radio plays or from an interest in audio stories, and to draw them into the hobby and convert them through dark means. So, yeah.
Okay. Measures of success, I think, are really, really subjective. Like, maybe decide what yours are before you start a podcast.
I think that's a really, really good point, Andy.
Decide, like, what would actually make you feel successful. What always makes me feel successful is people being excited about it, actually. That's a really, really big thing. People sending me little messages about certain bits of the story that they cried at or they laughed at or they related to. And also the wonderful way with our fans who we call stowaways, because we're set on a ship and we're adorable. Basically, they've made their own little community. They talk to each other. There are people who've met because of the thing that we made, and there are people who've helped each other out of hard situations. There are people who, you know, are friends because of this thing that we made. And that, I don't know, there've been a lot of, like, really cool stuff that's happened over the last year, but that is always the thing that really kind of stands out for me and really makes it feel like it's working. In terms of ambitions, like, we've already been lucky enough to do a couple of things with Wizards of the Coast. We've been featured in Dragon Plus. That happened. I tried to be cool about that. It just, like, didn't work. But yeah, more times with Wizards of the Coast would be great. We've got a couple of live shows coming up, which we'd like to try and make more of a regular thing. We also really want to get a Patreon up and running. We're currently in the process of writing and backing up other content to go on that. Getting merch up and running is another thing that we really have as a big goal. So yeah, lots of goals going forward. But it's been really cool.
Wow. The D20 Future Show, I think our listenership is pretty modest, and so my ambitions are. But really, every now and again, I think, am I having fun? Because if I'm not having fun, why am I doing it? No one pays me to do it. I don't have legions of fans filling up my Patreon. So if I'm not having fun, I should stop. And I've hit...
I think that's a pretty good, you know, seriously. Tip. If you're going to do a podcast, do it because you're having fun.
Yeah. I mean, I hate everything I do, but that's beyond the point.
Okay.
That makes you happy, so it's okay.
You may need to talk to somebody professionally about that.
Get that looked at.
Every time I think, oh, this isn't worth it, I get a press pass to the UK Games Expo and go around the trade day and they just give me stuff. And I think, oh, no, this is worth it.
More importantly, you get invited to come and join a panel on the podcast sign.
Or, I have to say, Callum invited me last year to be part of the podcast. So, and I thought, does he know? Can I pass for legit?
You know that means you've made it. You get an invite to podcast.
There you go. I am legit. It is official. This year I'm so legit. I've got business cards
and a Podcast Zone T-shirt
and a Podcast Zone. Yeah, but anyone can buy one of these from the Podcast Zone store on Redbubble.
I know, right? Thanks for the plug.
That's quite all right. It's awesome. I love it. I'm gonna wear it out, I guess, between now and next year.
People are just so delusional. There's no entry level to go to a Podcast Zone. We just invite wherever.
Yeah, I'm living proof of that.
Callum. Don't break their hearts.
Being a podcaster has had people contact me, say, I'd love to run a game on your podcast. Please learn about my game. That was cool. I have had the chance to either sit down in person or sit down over Discord with some just really interesting people who, if I just rang them up and said, can I chat to you for an hour about games, they would call me a weirdo. But because some people listen to it when I publish it on the internet, they will give me their time. And I'm not sure I know why that is yet, but I've had some really, really fascinating chats with some guys who I have not
had a 5 minute
to sit
signal,
down.
By the way.
My ambitions going forward is just really to do more of that. I would love to grow the listenership to my show. We're doing plugs later, right?
Yeah.
I'll plug my show later then. But I'd love to grow the listenership. But really, if I'm experiencing new things, meeting new wonderful people, and having more fun, then that really is the kind of the limit of my ambition.
Actually, I was wrong on that. We did the plug before you arrived.
I was going to say, you missed the plug. You've been here at the beginning. You've been
got the plug. Okay. So you're holding that microphone. That's great. Who's got a question for us? We got just less than 5 minutes.
I love how everyone...
Yeah, we need a token, then you are.
Someone had a question.
Hello. Oh, is
that
on?
Yeah, it's on.
If you just rest it on your chin.
Hello?
There it is.
Okay, there we go. All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Devante. Very nervous to be up here. It's the first time. But actually, I wanted to know about how you do the structure of the podcast. Because obviously, when you're playing the game, it's a very messy affair where you everyone's talking over each other. They're kind of like want to get their ideas out. How do you structure it so that the listeners can hear everything and follow what's going on in a clear, concise manner?
I'm going to pass this over to the actual plays because we weren't.
Do you want to go first?
I can go first. As we've mentioned, we are not one of the really dramatised, heavily edited radio-type actual plays. We are, well, frankly, we're a game of D&D, but the thing is, there is a playstyle. In terms of our playstyle, there is a way of doing it so that everything is clear. You make sure you explain everything properly, and you make sure you don't assume people know stuff whilst not also giving it to them on a complete plate as well. I think we mostly do it with playstyle and also through having a really excellent DM who sees when things are sort of drying up and needing to move on and has quite a good sense of timing and makes sure it all keeps moving, basically. And also we all have that as a sort of table goal of improvisers who are used to kind of moving scenes on anyway. We can all kind of feel when something needs to move on, if it's getting flat or if something's getting unclear. So I think it's mostly actor sense with us rather than editing. Who wants to go next?
Just want to say about that, because I had this discussion with a few podcasters. I think there's a moment when you move from recording your fun and documenting your games from having an additional player in the room who's the listener, and you should play and GM your game with that person in mind. That's my personal view. Yeah, so I give instruction to Game Master who joined the show about please keep in mind on this and try to have different settings and so on and be concise with things.
I mean, I would say that I don't know about the others here, but I found that there's a very different style of play that emerges when you're playing for a podcast. I think there's a sort of an unspoken etiquette. There's an expectation. You can't really talk over each other. It's something we had to learn in some of the earlier episodes. There was very much sort of that talking over each other and people shouting and such, and we quickly realized that there needs to be a sort of and because also we do this edited thing, we can have gaps between speech that may be unnatural, but then we can edit them to seem more natural so that people can sort of defer and allow other people to speak. And also we do things like, I think almost instinctively now, we will like hold up our hands if we want to speak next, like it's school. But that's just something that's emerged naturally out of play. And I do think that as you do a podcast, you will slowly sort of get these unwritten rules that make more sense. And it's sort of one of practice meets perfect. And I also do think that you should play a few games of practice, even record them, maybe chuck them away. They might be absolutely awful.
Even edit them, I think, your pilot. I mean, even professional TV shows, they would make a pilot.
Yeah.
You can go watch the pilot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and even the cast changed.
Professional podcasts tend to do their pilot.
Yeah.
And then quite often they don't go any further than that. So
yeah, it's a Patreon bonus.
There's nothing wrong with doing that. I mean, for us, the advantage we were a chat show, so we had show notes. Mm-hmm. It was structured. Everyone had a section. Everyone knew who section was who. The show notes were issued a week in advance if we did what Vince asked us to, and the day before if we didn't. But it gave everyone a chance to find out what everyone else's section is so that no one was surprised. That for a chat. So for anybody out here who's doing like more, looking at doing more of a chat show type podcast, show notes. Genuinely structured show notes.
Richard?
I think probably a good role-playing session doesn't have people talking over each other anyway. I don't know how much of that is me encouraging it because it makes good podcast, and how much is that is me encouraging it because it makes good time for everybody. I, as the GM, am quite conscious that if there's talking over each other, I will pause, wait for silence, and then narrate the next bit. so that I've got nice clear audio of me saying what's happening. Likewise, people know if they're going to cough to try and wait for people to stop talking, or if they're going to bang the microphone, it's almost immediately followed by, sorry, future Richard. Because my friend Adam is adorable. I guess being conscious of it, and then as a GM very much, and also the editor, just giving clean space around stuff that you know is important.
Final question.
As someone who would like to start podcasting.
Who are you? Tell us.
Oh, sorry. My name's Tom. I have literally got into D&D as of 2, maybe 3 years ago, and I've fallen.
Another D&D podcast.
It's all about pizza.
Well, I may consider other settings, but it's a nice accessible one for me. But first of all, just a thank you for being so generous in helping more people come to that point. D&D and other role-playing games had a gatekeeping problem for a long time. It's so nice to see this kind of generosity. My question is, I see a market, and especially at this con, which is quite heavy and saturated in some regards. How important, or is it important, to have a kind of hook that would stand out from the crowd? And as someone who's prospectively going into it, what could I look to do to make myself stand out a bit?
Do something else than Dungeons and Dragons.
Wait a second.
Okay, be super short, fellow podcaster, because otherwise there won't be any time for your final plug.
Work out what your unique thing is that you bring to the table. Look at what everybody else is doing and go, what skills do I have? What skills do my cast have? What can we take to the table and make it different? Like, I can list quite a few things that are different about ours. We have sea shanties. We're in a Napoleonic setting rather than medieval. We have LGBT characters, guns rather than spells. There's a whole, interesting world mythology. You can list a few, kind of be like that about
it's
your
concept.
It's
all about your unique selling point. That's the marketing term.
Have more than one.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Have a few.
Just
that
in
you
case
can go,
someone
this
else comes
different.
In with that unique selling point, you can be like, oh, I've got another.
Yeah, and also your unique selling point will give you your elevator pitch, which is your sort of 30-second, this is my podcast in 2 sentences, right. If someone asks you what it's about.
Yeah, it's a saturated market, so you need an edge.
You do.
But, finding one, there's a wealth of content that's possible.
And get that elevator pitch. That's a really important one. If you can sum up your podcast in 2 sentences and sell it well, then you're halfway there.
Basically, in a tweet.
Yeah. We will find out in a few seconds if you have a very, very short way of introducing your podcast.
Not at all.
I mean, I don't know is the honest answer.
Whoa.
Hello.
Hello, Dragon Meat.
Hello, Chris.
In exactly 30 minutes or nearabouts, John Kovalik will be signing the fantastic Age of Sigmar bookmarks and other things in the reception of the gaming hall. So go and see him.
God,
we've also got
you?
Another 7 o'clock with the charity auction run by Brian Nisbet and also with the lovely John Kovalik. So guest appearance. Make sure you come along and find out the awesome news and join in.
Amen.
Richard, your answer, your 2 sentences, and then we'll go in a row.
How important is it to have a unique selling point? I have no idea, but know why you're doing the podcast. I think that's probably more important than knowing why you're going to stand out. Less than a minute. The D20 Future Show is an actual play podcast where a bunch of friends get together and we play the role-playing game D20 Future, and sometimes we are idiots.
Flintlocks and Fireballs is a group of privateers and now actual pirates sailing around the Napoleonic world of Chalcinia. We have homebrew sea shanties. We've got lots of gays. We've got a non-binary person. There's representation. Enjoy it.
Powered Roll is a D&D actual play podcast edited to be a bit like a radio play. We explore stories with a more edited form of content and from a variety of settings, from ancient mythological settings to recently a tie-in with the new release of Eberron. So please do check us out.
Did and D&D is actually a YouTube show. It's where we build our Chaos Collective's dissociative identity disorder alters, and we explore it through D&D in a safe place and non-judgmental.
This was Calum from the Rollis Podcast, the proudly London-based show of tabletop RPG fans across the channel, the pond, and beyond. Please join our newsletter to find out about other panels, our shows, and charity events which are coming. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this panel by The Rollis Presents, our spin-off show derived from The Rollis Podcast. The Rollist Present aims to showcase the tabletop RPG industry across Europe through panels held on Twitch or at live events. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to see more, or if you would like us to attend or even organize more live events, your support would help me do just that. First of all, there's Patreon. Patreon is an online platform allowing individuals like you and me to support podcasters, artists, and game designers, among many others, via small but regular donations. In our case, the donations are limited to a single one per month. You set the amount, and even a single pound goes a long way in encouraging me to continue producing all our shows and events. Actually, the equipment I use to record live panels was in large part financed by Rollists like you, who already support the show via Patreon. Doing so will grant you access to our modest bonus show, Café Rollist, the caffeinated RPG break. If you can't afford to support us financially via Patreon, it's totally fine. It is very important for me that the show remains accessible to everyone. I have no intention of putting any of our main shows behind a paywall. They do not include any advertising and they are all available for free. But I do have expenses producing this show, organizing or attending events. Your support would not only allow me to continue recording them, but it would allow me to do more, like travel to a convention or game shop near you, in the UK or elsewhere. Again, if you can't afford to support the Rollist financially, it's totally fine. What I value the most is having you as a listener. There are many other means to support the show. You can subscribe via iTunes or any podcast player. It is very encouraging to see more and more of you subscribing. Leaving a review on iTunes or just rating us 5 stars without any kind of text also helps so much. It helps us getting noticed by more listeners. You can also be a huge help through recommending the show to friends online, in your gaming group, or at your local RPG club. And never hesitate to message me via email, Facebook, or Twitter. I would love to hear your thoughts about this episode or any other, or maybe hear your suggestions for other future panels. I am always happy to interact with you all. That's kind of the reason I'm doing all of this. Finally, we have a monthly newsletter that you can join to stay updated about all releases, upcoming episodes, and events. To join this newsletter, just click the link in the description of this episode. You will also find there my contact and social media details. And that's it, really. This was Kalum for the Rollist. Thanks for listening to this episode all the way to the end. And remember, you are the Rollist. Holy, holy, holy. Só tu frango e vem com a gente. Holy. Rolei, rolei. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigoduto. Na hora do piriri, cai em mim outra travesti. Vai, batuque! Rolei, rolei, rolei. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolei. Rolei, rolei, solta o frango e vem com a gente.